Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thank you for joining me today. Happy Cinco de Mayo. I hope everybody's going to enjoy the food and the festivities and everything. It's always a lot of fun to partake in that. The topic of today's show is transforming your life in 10 easy steps. You are going to so enjoy this show. I have a very special guest, a fellow Hay House author, Mike O'Neill. He's the author of this latest book called Super Coach. I've read the book in its entirety. I not only like all the information, this book is just so rich with tips and suggestions on how you can transform your life. And I'm not sure if I love all the tips more, Michael, or if I happen to love all the stories that you have before each chapter. Very thought-provoking, but again, we're going to have Michael here. He's going to be sharing some of the super coaching tips that he's got in this fabulous new book. He's going to be telling us how you can go into the new book. He's going to tell us how you can get to his website. He's got a wonderful new coach academy he's doing, so we're just going to let Michael talk about all of that. And again, I know that you are going to really enjoy the show. I'm going to try to talk slowly, and I know Michael will also, because I know a lot of listeners, I get emails from you saying, Carol, can you talk a little bit slower, because I want to take these notes. So today you will particularly want to, you will want to have these different notepad and paper and everything. Also want to let you know that Michael and I are going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for Michael about his book and some of the things that he's sharing on those fabulous tips, or you want to ask me about your health, you can call both of us at 877-230-3062. We're really looking forward to taking your calls. Let me tell you a little bit about Michael. Having the ability to see the aura, you know, I really do see the world differently. And I had the pleasure of meeting Michael at an I Can Do It conference in Tampa, Florida a few years ago. And we actually sat right next to each other for dinner. And the more we talked, the more I watched his aura and the more I was impressed with him because of his passion for what he does. But I also found that the more I listened to Michael, he's one of these rare human beings who are both visionary and intuitive, but he's also practical and down to earth. And what a wonderful combination that is. So it was a pleasurable evening getting to know him. We don't always, as Hay House authors, get a chance to do that. But again, my pleasure. It was just a lot of fun. Michael's an internationally renowned transformative coach. I love that. I'm going to ask him to talk a little bit more about that. He's also the best-selling author of You Can Have What You Want, Feel Happy Now, and Effortless Success. Interesting concept, and one that he also talks about in his Super Coach book. For the past 20 years, he's been a coach, an advisor, a mentor, and what he calls a creative spark plug for celebrities, CEOs, royalty, and people like you and I that really want to just go in and get more out of our lives. He hosts his own weekly talk show on HayHouseRadio.com. And he writes daily and weekly coaching columns that can be read on his website, www.geniuscatalyst.com. So he's going to be telling you more about all that. Hello, Michael. Thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me. I love being introduced by my aura instead of my resume. That's kind of nice.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I get to see the world differently. And I tell you, the thing that I remember the most is when we introduced each other, he says, oh, you're Carol Reitberger. He said, I had someone ask me the other day about health. And I remember you saying, who do you think I am, Carol Reitberger? That just stuck. It was so great. What a wonderful guy. This book is really... I read a lot of books, and I have a lot of interest in the coaching and helping people and the transformation that's taking place right now. But I really do need to tell you, your book is so rich with information, practical stuff. It doesn't require a lot of thought. It just requires a lot of action. And your stories, I'm not sure which one I liked better, Michael. I think it was probably The Stonecutter and the Angel. That one was the one that resonated to me. So anyway, in the first chapter, of Super Coach, you talk about the art and science of make-believe. I love that one. And then also you discuss three principles on how to create our own life and success. So would you share with the listeners what are these principles?
Yeah, the reason I call it the art and science of make-believe is to do with the principles. We live in a world of thought. And we occasionally, you know, pop through and see that there's this bigger world that world of thought is arising inside of, which is the world I'll call the world of energy or a world of mind. And then we have this gift, this principle of consciousness that's alive within us as well, that lets us be aware of our experience as we're having it. So we actually, it's not that we can use these principles to create. We are using these principles to create. We think something, it starts to seem more and more real the more we think it, and then we live in response to that. But the whole thing is taking place inside this wonderful spiritual soup that, you know, I call energy in the book. Sometimes, I call it mind. The Native Americans called it the great spirit. The big picture in Buddhism, they call it big mind. And when you begin to see how that process is taking place, and I just, if I could, just illustrate it with, because this happened today. I got an extraordinary call from a former client who called to tell me that she'd finally made her peace with me, and she wanted to share it. She'd forgiven me, and she'd made her peace with me, and I was fascinated to hear what this was all about, because I didn't know there was a problem. And apparently, when I hadn't responded to her last email, she went into a spin because she thought that it meant that I didn't care about her, and that some of the things that had come up in our coaching weren't true. And she then kind of sat with it for a bit and saw that she had been creating this relationship that wasn't there about, you know, the guru and the student, and that by not answering, she saw that I was deliberately cutting those apron strings so she could stand on her own, and she saw the gift in my doing that, and she wanted me to know that she really appreciated it. And I listened to the story, and it was very moving. And I said to her afterwards, I said, thank you so much for sharing that. I have one question. What the hell are you talking about? I'd never gotten an email.
Isn't that something?
So she had created this entire beautiful drama, even to the point of resolving it successfully, based on something that never happened. We all do that. It's not always so dramatic or so obvious, but we spend an awful lot of our time solving problems that we created in our thinking.
And, you know, those problems, it's very interesting. Once they bubble to the surface, there's a lot of pattern behind those problems, and a lot of the emotion is able to bubble to the surface. And part of the resolve and part of the creating the life that people desire is really about going in and looking at that emotional aspect. And it does play out in dramas all the time. Very quickly, I was on a cruise ship doing a program, and there was a group of women. They were the last group I talked to prior to going back to my room, and I passed them in the hall, and I guess I must have looked at two of them, but I didn't look the third one in the eye. She literally locked herself in the cabin for a day and a half because she was sure that I saw something really traumatic or really bad in her aura. And it's like this story that you tell. We have these opportunities that come up that just bubble up to the process or to the surface so we can work with things. So it is amazing the way that we do find resolve, isn't it, Michael?
It's awe-inspiring. I mean, it's, you know, and it isn't always awful. I mean, sometimes what we make up is quite beautiful, but it either serves us or it doesn't. And the thing that one of the metaphors that I'll share with people a lot is, think of a thought as in its basic form, the way most of us see it, at our basic level of consciousness or understanding, we see a thought and it appears real to us. It's when we think that this person did something to us, when we think that you saw something in our aura, that seems so real. And so we respond to it as if it's real. Now, when a thought appears real, it would make sense that if the thought is taking us in a not very happy direction, that we might want to change the thought. We might want to affirm its opposite. We might want to play with it in some way. We might want to question it. But when you see that you are the thinker, the thought becomes a bit more transparent. It looks less solid. You can begin to see it. It shimmers a little bit around the edges. There's a glitch in the matrix. And you can begin to see, oh, that's actually a thought. That isn't what's really happening. I can begin to see through it. When you can start to see through your thoughts, because they become transparent, in the book I call it thought spotting, you don't need to change them anymore. Because What's the point of changing one transparency for another? You can simply allow them to be there. And it's almost like having a TV on in the corner. It will occasionally distract you. But you don't. If you're not watching it, it doesn't really matter what channel it's on.
Absolutely. And it is. It's that. That's the beauty of energy. That's the beauty of being able to step back and look at things, and thought being energy. And, again, those are some of the things that I thought was, listen to me, that I thought that was very, very profound in the book itself, is the fact that, you know, in each one of those thoughts, there's these emotional aspects to it that really is reflective of how we've either been conditioned. It seems to put us in that victim process. And one of the things that, when we had talked also in Tampa, the thing is that really that victim process isn't that we're a victim. It's just the opportunity for us to really look at our life and look at our thoughts, isn't it?
Yeah, because we're creating the sense of ourselves as victims. We're still creators. We're creators all the way down. You know, there's an old story about William James, who's the father of modern psychology, that a woman came up to him after a talk that he gave on the nature of the universe, and she said, "Well, it was very interesting, Dr. James, but you and I both know that the world is where it is because of the turtles." and he said, "Excuse me?" And she said, "Well, we all know that the world floats in space on the back of a giant turtle, and all the planets float on the back of these giant turtles." And he said, "Well, that's very interesting, madam, but what holds up the turtles?" And she said, "Oh, you can't fool me, Dr. James. It's turtles all the way down." and you know, it's so often that what we do, we are creating everything, including the illusion that we're not creating. And the beauty of it, and the reason that I love what I do, and that I love transformative coaching versus other kinds of coaching, is because you're only ever one insight away from a completely different seeing. It doesn't matter if it took you years to get depressed. It doesn't matter if it took you years to build up your low self-esteem or your victim mentality or whatever it is. The second you see through it, the second it becomes transparent, the moment you have that insight, it's gone. There's no work to be done at that point. That's why we call it effortless, because once you see it, it might take a while to see it, but the moment you see it, it's done.
It is, because then you see it for the truth of what it is. There's a mantra that I use all the time: things are not as they appear. And that's exactly what you're talking about. You brought up a very good point, and if you could please indulge me and the listeners for a brief time. This transformative coach that you're talking about, I found that very interesting about the different aspects of coaching. I have a lot of people come to my classes that are asking me about the coaching process, and should I be a life coach or a business coach or anything. But the coach that you are has so much impact in such an effortless way. So could you just kind of define what the different coaches kind of are and why you're different?
Yeah, I describe it as coaching as taking place on three levels. And level one is performance coaching, where the coach's job is to improve your performance in a specific context. And that's the kind of, you know, "Go get 'em, Tiger, you can do it" kind of coaching that we all see in sporting events and on TV. And there's a real place for that kind of coaching, but it really has very little impact, generally speaking, beyond the performance it's designed to enhance. So the main tool of that coach is motivation, and the change takes place at the level of behavior. Then at the second level, we'll have what are called the life coaches, and they might specialize, and they have strategies for success, and they might have strategies for relationship success, and they'll call themselves relationship coaches, and they might have strategies for career success, and they'll call themselves career coaches, and strategies for health success, and they'll call themselves a health coach. And if those strategies are effective strategies, then a lot of people will be able to get a lot of benefit from that work. Now, the nature of strategies is not every strategy works for every person. So, there will be other people who won't get that impact. But the change is psychological now instead of behavioral. If the behavior changes, it's a result of a shift in thinking. The third level of coaching, what I do, what I teach, is transformative coaching. You could call it spiritual coaching, because we're working at the level of spirit or mind or energy. And what's changing is a seeing. What's changing is literally the way you see yourself, the way you see anything in your life, where you're looking from is actually shifting. And because of that, because the changes happen through insight, it's a little bit less systematic than other kinds of coaching, because I can take clients to the bus stop, but the bus will show up when it shows up. But it's so much more impactful, because once you see something for yourself, like I say, the work is then done. And the easiest way to express the difference for me is I've done work since living in Hollywood, to be honest, with a lot of people who've dealt with addiction issues or are dealing with them. And one of the biggest distinctions is there are two main ways that I see people move beyond addiction in their life. And one is the one day at a time, white knuckling it at first, though it gets easier and easier and easier, sort of, you know, just for today, I will not, whatever my addiction is, approach. It has, unfortunately, a startlingly low success rate, but I really value it, and I really appreciate it being in the world, because for those people for whom it does work, it saves lives. Mm-hmm. However, I also meet people who have had a real insight into the nature of what's going on with them. And one day, whereas your white knuckler might look at, let's just use alcohol. This is not against alcohol as mm-hmm. such, but for some people, they look at alcohol and think, wow, this is just the grease for the wheels. This is the one thing that gets me through the day, that makes me feel comfortable when I'm in a social environment, that makes me really feel more myself. But I get that it has a really bad effect on my system and I do stupid things, so I'm not going to drink it. And really through will and faith, I can do that. The person who's had an insight, who's had a transformation, at some point, they had an insight that for them, drinking alcohol was like pouring rat poison into their veins. And from that moment, they would no sooner pick up a drink than you or I would pick up a bottle of rat poison and chug it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the power of transformative coaching. That's the power of an insight. Because when you see it, you will just automatically do it differently. And I use the analogy in the book of the shortcut. If I show you a shortcut, if it takes you an hour to get to work and I can show you a way to get there in 5 minutes, you're going to start taking that shortcut immediately, even if you have low self-esteem, even if your parents weren't very nice to you when you were growing up, even if you have a lifetime of emotional karmic trauma. When you see a better way, you'll take it.
It's very interesting when you start really stepping outside of where you are. And again, like you said, looking at it that way, it's so many people that I'm sure you've run into and I have, is that they feel like everything that they do to change their life has got to be hard work. It's got to, you know, there is a system. You have to do the work, but it doesn't have to be hard. It's something that it is the shift of perception. It's seeing that transparency of it and looking beyond that. And then it does become effortless, because then it's driven by different motivation instead of that victim motivation or the other aspects that we just hang on to, that we're gifted so early in life, but we hang on to because it's helped us survive. But at some point in time, it becomes so limiting. So thank you for that. This is another one that I... You know, when you came in, instead of saying to people, have a great day, then you say it's necessary to tell people to have an average day. So why is an average day so important?
You know, if there's one thing in the book that I've gotten more positive feedback on, particularly from teens and parents of teens, it's the whole have an average day approach. It comes from a simple thing, that we live in a culture that's so in love with exceptionality that we're from a very early age have to get it in our heads, we've got to be exceptional, we've got to be the different one, we've got to be the best, we've got to be the this. Just plain logic tells us 99 out of 100 of us are going to fail at that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means to be exceptional and the best. And then the one person who does actually has some sort of exceptionality winds up having to deal with being different to everyone else and being in some ways cut off from them. So it's a lose-lose way of thinking about things. When I first tell people to have an average day, at first they think, oh, you're trying to encourage mediocrity. No, the fact is that the cumulative effect of a series of average days is phenomenal. I can write half an hour a day and have two full books done in a year. That's an average amount of writing. That's not an impressive amount of writing. But cumulatively, it's incredibly impressive. If I spend half an hour in the morning and a half an hour in the evening with my kids, at the end of the year, I've spent hundreds of hours just being with them. That's going to do amazing things for my relationship. And because I'm not exhausted thinking I've got to be exceptional, I've got to be an exceptional parent. I've got to be an exceptional radio show host. I've got to be an exceptional whatever it is that I do. I have a lot more energy to be really present with whatever it is that I am doing. And I'm going to just tend to do it better. And I'm going to have better days and worse days. I'm going to have a few great days and a few terrible days. But on the whole, if I'm doing what I love to do, life's just going to get better and better. It's like the tortoise and the hare. You know, little and often.
Absolutely. And, I think you're very intuitive, Michael, because I'm in the process of working on a book, and I keep waiting for that half a day, that time that I can just set aside everything else and not be busy being busy in my mind and everything. So, you know, hon, on top of everything else you're going to share, thank you for that, Jim, for myself. A half hour a day, that's what I'm going to shoot for. But again, that's the type of thinking. That's the part, you know, so many times we'll say, have a great day, and it's almost like a mandatory thing. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen if I don't? So I love that visual that goes along with it. Well, Michael and I are going to be taking your call. So if you have a question for us, you can call us at 877-230-3062. But one of the other things that I want to go, and then we'll just go into a commercial break, but we're going to finish the thought, is in Supercoach, you write, we nearly always hear what we're listening for. What do you mean by this?
One of the reasons that people get themselves into such trouble in relationships is because they don't understand that they're creating the person that they're listening to. That what you expect to hear is going to determine what you hear. Because we can read most things into most things. If you've ever read a bad horoscope, and I'm not saying there aren't, true astrologers out there, but if you've ever read a bad horoscope, it's like any person could read meaning into what's there. And if they're expecting it to be a certain way, they'll find evidence of that just by listening, just by looking. When it comes to relationships, what people don't see is there are four of you in the relationship. There's you, there's them, there's the version of them you make up in your head and argue with, and there's the version of you that they make up in their head and argue with. And honestly, all the trouble is with the two sock puppets, surrogates.
It's that power struggle between the part that is just not even who they really are. I find this all the time very interesting.
it's actually comical to watch if it weren't so painful for the people going through it. Because, you'll have these three-hour arguments. They'll actually spend more time in relationship with the sock puppet version of the other person than they will with the real person. And I mean, if I've got time, really quick story.
Tell the story.
Just a wonderful story of a businessman who was on a train with Picasso back in the 30s. And he realized who it was and said, "Oh, Mr. Picasso, honored. Though I have to say, I've got to be honest, I don't really like your art." And Picasso kind of said, "Well, okay, why not?" And he said, "Well, it's not realistic." And Picasso said, "Well, what do you mean by realistic?" And the businessman took out a photograph, an old black and white photograph of his wife. And he said, look, this is what I mean by realistic. I mean, this is my wife." And Picasso looked at the picture and held it in his hand and said, "She's very small, your wife." And again, because it looks real, it sounds real, we think it is real, but it's inside your head. If you want to make a difference in your relationship, try spending more time with the person outside your head, the one that goes ouch when you poke them.
The one that I call in some of my sessions, how you know whether you're dealing with the real person or you're dealing with this perceived person with expectations, is when you get through with that three-hour dissertation trying to convince each other that they should see things the same way or the way that you should, and you say at the end of 3 hours, Now, what was this all about? Did we accomplish anything? That is always an indicator that, oh my gosh, who was that mass person that we were really dealing with? So,
absolutely.
Well, what I'd like to do is let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break. Please join me and come back because I have a very special guest, Michael Neal. He is the author of Super Coach. You can tell right away he's got a marvelous sense of humor about the work that he does. And that is such an integral part about being able to really change our life, is to be able to see our life through the eyes of that humor and to see our lives through the eyes of that little child that's inside of us. So please stay tuned. We're going to be right back and talk more about his great book, and we're going to take some calls. So please, you can call us at 877-230-3262. Thanks. We'll be right back.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the hosts and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll-free at 1-877-230-3062.
Well, welcome back. If you're just joining me today, I've got a very special guest today. His name is Michael Neal. He is the author of Super Coach, and he's sharing some of his super coaching tips. But, you know, really, and everything else, it's so much. He's talking about life and the way that we can just shift our perception of life. And in doing so, we shift perception of ourselves and our ability to be able to create the life that we truly desire. He calls this effortless success, and how true that is. We were talking in the first segment about how we, you know, this success paradigm that we're trying to accomplish, we could put those blinders on, one foot in front of the other, and so forth. And, you know, we get up every day and it's like, okay, today I'm going to do this and this and this and this. And a lot of times we don't allow things to just unfold, and it's that unfoldment that really changes our perception. Michael and I are taking your call. So if you have a question for Michael about some of his coaching tips and about this wonderful book, I love the stories in it and the information, practical stuff that we can use. It doesn't have to be something that's a laundry list every day. If you just basically opened up this book and looked at something he has at the back of each chapter called a super coach tip, or super coaching tip, I believe it is. That's all you need to do. Just open up a chapter, look at the back for that, and it really is stuff that every single day we could put in our thinking, we could embody it in our energy body, and voila, it all starts to unfold. I would also like to invite you to join me on my May free teleclass, Your Health Teleclass. It's going to be held on May 20th at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. That's 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The topic of this month is headaches. The teleclass is 60 minutes in length, and during that time I'm going to be sharing information on tension headaches, cluster headaches, and as many of you have emailed me asking me to do a teleclass on headaches, those vicious migraine headaches. But, you know, I'm going to be sharing a lot of different perspective of headaches, not only how they form in the body and how they basically map in the energy body and in the chakras. I talk about personality and the susceptibility to tension headaches or susceptibility to migraine headaches. But I also look at it from that psychological part, but I look at it as to what is that soft, that chain reaction that really creates those headaches to form in the body itself. And then as always, I add a lot of information on not only the conventional way that headaches are usually treatment that's associated with them, but then also alternative therapies that you can look at for headaches. Then following the teleclass, I always add about 20 or 30 minutes and take your calls, and that's always a lot of fun. And we can do a lot. What we do on the radio show is just answer questions. So again, if you'd like to join me on my free teleclass in May, it's May 20th at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. You can register online on my website, www.ritberger.com. Remember, the teleclasses are free, so tell a loved one and tell a friend. If you know anybody that suffers from headaches, I think that they'll find the information very usable and something that they can apply to the well-being of their body. Also wanted to let you know that my audio and printable PDF for my April Your Health teleclass is now available for purchase on my website, www.ritberger.com. That topic was insomnia. The printable PDF actually has 26 pages on insomnia and different sleep disorders. Lots of suggestions. In fact, I think I've got 36 different suggestions on what you can do to help deal with sleep issues. So again, if you're interested in signing up for the teleclass in May, or you're interested in any of the PDF or audio downloads I have on teleclasses, go to my website, put the cursor on teleclasses. It'll show a drop down that says teleclass archives. You can go in there. Lots of good information. One of the things I believe, and I can tell you, I'm going to weave this kind of into what Michael does from this transformative coaching that he does. When you can look at situations from a holistic perspective, meaning not just what you're dealing with that's in front of your eyes, but looking at it holistically, then as Michael says, it becomes transparent. And when it becomes transparent, it looks completely different. And then we realize the power that we really have, not only over our thoughts, but also over our lives as well. So thank you, Michael. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Let's see. So when we come in, and again, going through the book, what allows one person to ask for what he or she wants? Why others stop asking them themselves? They're afraid, aren't they, Michael, to utter that first question. It's almost like I have to ponder this for a long time, and what's going to happen if I ask the wrong question? And as a result, we just don't ask our questions, do we?
We create so much meaning around two sounds that when they get put together, so here are the sounds. The first sound is, and then the second sound is, oh. And when you put those sounds together, oh, no, 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 no. Like, it's this amazingly powerful, energetic mantra that can somehow destroy our souls. Look, it's a word. And yet we have so much stuff attached to that word that we will do almost anything to avoid hearing it, including not asking the question, or if we do ask the question, asking it in a way that either presupposes the no, oh, you wouldn't really want to do this, would you? I didn't think you would, or in a way that is so threatening that like the person, so the person knows that if they say no, we will never speak to them again. And then we wonder why people resent being asked the question. When you make it okay for people to say no, and that's both okay on the inside, like, you know and they know that you're not going to die because they said those words, but also okay for them from the sense that they get that you're not actually asking you to them to rescue you. You're just asking them for whatever it is you're asking them for. It becomes very easy to ask. And Byron Katie, she's got a wonderful saying, she says, you know, if you ask 1,000 people for anything, you're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had to get anywhere near that number to test her theory.
Now, that's very true.
In fact, I can't recall a time I've had to get much past 50.
You know, and one of the things I remember a professor in college was talking when I was had a class on marketing, said that, you know, you have to ask 10 times. You may get 9 no's, but somewhere along the way, you're going to hit that 10th yes, and that you just have to be willing to persevere and to be able to ask that, which is exactly what you're saying.
There's a real ease and simplicity to it. You know, I have a coach who I actually write about in the book, Steve Hardison, who's just the most amazing asker I've ever met. I used to think he had a chip missing because he just simply had no fear around asking for what he wanted. And he's done things. I mean, just even recently, he got a copy of Supercoach to Mitt Romney in the middle of, like, and I thought he knew him, but it was just by asking a bunch of people till he found someone to let him in to do it. And it really comes down to just a recognition that if this is what I want to communicate, and if I really have no problem with somebody saying no, because it just means that they don't get it yet, or for whatever reason it's not for them, he can get things done so much quicker than most people just because of that. You know, he said to me before, he said, if we were both trying to raise $1 million for our favorite charity, he said, I'd win every time. And it's not because I'm cleverer than you or know as many people as you or have as big an audience as you. It's because by the time you asked the first 5 people, I'd have asked 50.
Mm-hmm.
And I really see that. And the fact is, by the time I'd asked my first 5, a lot of people wouldn't have even quite gotten themselves around to asking the first one. So it's a relative thing.
True.
But the more comfortable you get with it, the quicker you can change your life and create what you want in the world, because anything that happens in the world, in the creation of your goals, 99% of it is going to happen through conversation, mm-hmm. through you speaking with, communicating with, in some form or another, another human being. And in order to make those requests, there's nothing can stop you doing it but you. Other people can say no, but gosh, I cannot think of a client in 20 years who their problem was that they had too many no's. You
good
know, the,
point.
The problem is always, I haven't asked enough people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it just comes back to that part that we're so afraid that rejection is going to be there, that it really inhibits us to be able to.
Rejection doesn't even exist.
It does not.
Like that woman that I was speaking about at the beginning of our talk today, who forgave me and came to understand the beauty behind my rejection of her for the email that I never even got. We make it up. And if you're going to make stuff up, you may as well make it up so that it works.
Absolutely. Well, and the ultimate of rejection is self-rejection, and then that's what perpetuates the no. So that is very good. So I love it. All the listeners, so what I think our mantra today should be that we're going to become askers. I love that term. And then just ask for what we desire. Ask people, ask the universe. Just put it down on paper and just ask and ask and ask until we get it. In Supercoach, you talk about that the secret to financial security doesn't always come from the amount of money that we currently have, but by the ability to get more of it whenever we want. Is that what you're talking about also, is this asking process?
There are two elements to it. I had the chance to interview and be part of a research project with some of the richest people on the planet. And I found out very quickly that there are miserable millionaires and happy millionaires, miserable billionaires and happy billionaires. And it's not down to the amount of money they have. And the real kicker for me, I in the book I write about it as the $600 million man, was when this one guy I was speaking with said, you know, he's worth $600 million. And he said, every morning I wake up and wonder if today's going to be the day when I lose it all. And I thought, I was disappointed, to be honest. I was a bit crushed, because I had thought there was a number. In the back of my mind, I thought there's a certain amount of money that once I have that, I will never worry about money again. And my number was so much smaller than $600 million, it's laughable. And I thought, if he is able to create insecurity around money with $600 million in the bank, then the answer can't be in the money. And it isn't. There are two things that lead to total financial security. The first is recognizing that your well-being is not dependent on your bank balance, that who you are and how you are in the world is non-contingent on your financial circumstance. That your happiness is something you were born with. Whenever I go to somebody who's got a baby, I will always make a point of talking to the baby about the economy just to check. Mm-hmm. Just to see if I can ever find a baby whose happiness is affected by money. Never happened yet. Don't really expect it to. When you get that you're born happy, you're born with that well-being, that's who we are, then you stop looking to something outside, and particularly money, as the source of that. The second thing is to learn to create it. Because to me, money is like paint. Okay, if I want to paint something, then I need paint. If I don't want to paint something, it doesn't matter how much paint I have. I don't ever need to hoard paint. I don't need to worry that I only have 100 pots of paint left, and I used to have 1,000 before the market crashed. Because unless I'm using that paint for something specific, it doesn't matter. Now, if I'm painting something that needs 150 pots of paint, and I've only got 100, well, then the thing that I want to work on is creating more paint. How do I go out and get it? And you do that by difference making. Mm-hmm. You do that by going out and making a difference in the lives of other human beings. Doing whatever you do, whether you're a writer or a nurse or a talk show host or a housewife, there are ways to make differences in the lives of others. That is what people spend money for. And there's always an answer to the question, what would you be thrilled to spend $100 for? What would be, and that's at any level. You know, I have clients who the question is, you know, what would my clients be delighted to pay me $1 million for? And there is always an answer to that question. That's where your energy and time are usefully spent when you want to create more money in your life. Not in whether you deserve it, whether you're worthy of it, whether it's a worthy, all of that is just one big sidetrack.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's, goes back to that perception and so forth with it. And I know you probably run into this all the time also. I have so many people that'll come up to me and say, Carol, I just don't know where to start. I don't know where to go. I mean, I'm waiting for that one right thing. How could I just, because I'm a good listener, get paid for being a good listener? And I said, well, if you're not only a good listener, but an active listener, meaning that you really are sincerely participating and hearing what people say, that right there is worth a lot to a lot of people who just don't have it in their lives. And it just changes their perception, doesn't it? But, you know, it's very interesting you would say, because from the standpoint of how much is enough, because at that point in time, the more you do have, you have that choice. You either worry about whether you're going to lose it, or you just enjoy what it can bring to you and then be able to share it with other people. Very, very good information. Well, Michael, before I go in and take this one caller, could you please tell everyone about your academy and about your Hay House show? When is it on? How can we get in touch with you? How can they get your books? Because I know you've got several different books, don't you?
Well, a few years back, I asked a web designer to make a sandbox for me on the web, just a place where I could play and make sandcastles and do stuff. And we called that sandcastle geniuscatalyst.com. And so at geniuscatalyst.com, there's free daily tips, there's free weekly tips. You can find out all about, on Thursdays, the live radio show and how to download podcasts of my Hay House radio show. There's links to all my books where you can read the introductions online, and videos and audio. And we really just, whenever I've got something new I want to play with, that's where it always shows up first. So that would be the place to find out information about anything. We are going to be doing a new Super Coach Academy in Los Angeles. We have people from 11 countries who are training to be transformative coaches in New York right now, and that training will complete at the end of June. And then there'll be a new one next year in L.A. There's not information on the site about that yet, but there will be. And it's just, I love doing what I do. And so for me, the more people, I learned this from my dad. My dad was an engineer. You know, he had a machine shop. He drilled holes in bits of metal, but he loved it. And I'm sure that's where I got it. It's nothing kind of noble or even learned. It's just what I saw growing up. And I know that when you find that thing or those things that you really love doing, your life just transforms. And that's the beauty of what you do, Carol. It's the beauty for me of what I do, and I love it. Love it.
Well, you can tell that. And again, it isn't what you do. It's what you feel about what you do and how you'll be able to help other people. And, you know, it's very, we've heard this so much. When you help someone else, you always feel better about yourself. And that is literally true. Let's go ahead and jump in. Hi, Shelley, line two from South Dakota. How are you today, hon?
I'm great. Thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. Oh, my gosh, Michael, listen to this bubbly, beautiful human being that we have on the phone. How can we help you, sweetie?
Well, I was calling. I have a disorder called vitiligo. It's the pigmentation. And I've had it for about 8 years, and it's never moved. It's just stayed on my elbows, and it's kind of been discreetly on just one arm. Well, I was recently given a healing prayer, which... I'm not kidding when I say this. I said this prayer for about a week, and I woke up one morning, and the vitiligo had spread to both the backs of my hands. I don't know what I did or why this spread, and now it's so visible. And
let's see. Go ahead, sweetie.
it was very startling to wake up with that, and I was thinking, boy, I can't give this prayer to anyone because – who knows what it will unleash in their body.
Well, let me tell you what it unleashed in your body. And, Michael, hang on. I'm going to pull you into this also, sweetie, because I know there's a lot of things there. One of the things with vitiligo is that it has to do with an autoimmune disorder. That's really where it is. And as a medical intuitive, in my world, that's where we hold pent-up irritation and frustration and sometimes anger with ourselves. And it kind of festers in there. And then what we do is my sense is the healing prayer didn't really do anything that would create, you know, this process to be bad. But what it did is it went in and it started the healing in that immune system. And the skin, sweetie, is the soul. And one of the things, I have a lot of clients that have the same skin pigmentation issue as you. And what I say is, instead of looking at it as being something that is, you know, wrong, look at it where that part of your skin is white, it's pure, it's absolutely the part of your soul that comes to the surface that allows you to see how pure that we really are, shifting the perception. But my sense is that the healing prayer went in and it literally shifted a perception, and it took away a lot of the energy that we hold in there. But then I need to go and now I need to be really practical. One of the things that also can trigger that to be able to start to surface and to move to different places of the body actually has to do with the immune system. So one of the things, honey, is you're going to want to go in and do some cleansing in the body. Look at the diet. Eat a rainbow diet. Greens, very good for the liver, because skin pigmentation issues are not only the immune system, but it also involves the liver. And in that liver, we need to keep it very, very clean. We need to get red bloods count up, which is what greens do. Reds are nice antioxidants and rich with that, as oranges are, but reds are natural diuretics, so they help in that purging, cleansing process. So one of the things to do is focus on the foods that you eat. Also go in and look at the foods that, you know, ask your body, what's it hungry for? And one of the things I pick up is you're getting a little bit of food sensitivity around gluten. You might want to just explore that one a little bit. So again, you know, I would go in and go, oh my gosh, look at this. This is who I am in my purest form. This is my soul, because the skin is that. This is who I am. And just shift the perception. And kind of like Michael's been talking, is that, you know, of course it is this, especially as women, we look at that and go, oh my gosh, it's kind of, you know, like liver spots or anything else. But just shift the perception of it, sweetie. No, it's tied to the immune system. Pack the immune system full of self-love. Look at all the good things you do. My gosh, I would love to just bottle your enthusiasm. And, you know, we're going to put you on eBay and we're going to bottle this, and you and I are going to become partners. Michael, do you want to be a part of this?
I'm in. I'm absolutely in.
Thank you.
Oh, money. You're welcome, Shelley. Hang on a second. Michael, do you have anything that you
can... Well,
I
do. As a non-medical intuitive, so ignore anything I said that sounds vaguely medical. What I find is that with any kind of healing, it's almost always a side effect. The symptom, whatever the symptom is, whatever we've named that particular set of symptoms, the healing of it is what your body wants to do anyway. Your body is always driving towards health, in the same way as your mind is always driving towards health. And one of the things that often gets in the way is we try to help too much. Like, you know, we'll take an aspirin to make a headache go away, not realizing maybe that the headache or the fever might actually be the body trying to heal itself. You know, we'll step in a little too quick. We'll catch the bird when it falls out of the nest, thinking that we're saving it, without realizing that that's how birds learn how to fly. And so, again, in a totally non-medical way, but this is just true about so many things with clients that I work with, to a certain extent, I would take a little bit of time off from trying to heal this. Absolutely do anything wonderful for immune system that Carol suggests, because, you know, worst case, you have a healthy immune system. But right. For a little while, just maybe take a week or even a month off from trying to heal this.
Okay.
And to the point where somebody might say to you, how's the vitiligo? And you go, what? Oh, yeah. I don't know. I haven't looked for a while. Because when it stops being that much a part of your consciousness, it kind of gets you out of the way long enough for the natural healing process to take place. So, Carol, feel free to disavow everything I just said.
Oh, no. Absolutely.
Medical point of view, but that's my experience from a psychological, spiritual point of view.
Absolutely. And that is so true because we do, you know, the job of the mind is to fixate on anything in the body that isn't working properly. That's its job. But what mm-hmm. we do is we can fixate it onto the point where it creates a myriad of other issues. So see that immune system healthy and happy and pure. And then again, common sense things, just, you know, what you do to eat. Every one of us, you know, we are what we eat, and look at it that way. But Michael is so right. Just, you know, take a reprieve from it and just allow it to just be. And then your mind, just put your mind on other things, and all of a sudden you're going to realize that it just doesn't, the mind isn't fixating and consume you. Thanks very much, Shelley. Appreciate you calling,
Michael.
Thank you. My pleasure. So thank you, Michael, for helping me with that. So is there any one last thing? We have just about a minute. Any one last thing that you want to leave people with, one action?
You know, it's not an action. It's a thought, and it's that thought that I mentioned earlier, that no matter how bad things might seem, no matter how difficult it might seem, no matter how hard you've been trying, you are only one thought away from peace. You are only one thought away from an insight that's going to completely change the way that you see your situation, and in doing that, your situation. And there is never a reason not to hope. I've
Absolutely.
Simply never seen a hopeless situation in my life.
Absolutely.
And I find that when the practical isn't working, then hope works just fine.
It does, and that's the one thing that is so important in all of the work that you do and I do and for everyone, is that, you know, hope really is what keeps us in touch with that spiritual aspect of who we are. And again, nothing is impossible. I've worked with people that were diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. The doctors basically said to them, you know, go home and do all the things and prepare. And I have people that have lived 6-10 years beyond where the doctors said that they would. And again, it is that thought. It is that hope. Well, Michael, just one more quick time. Tell us how we can find out all about you.
Well, just come to geniuscatalyst.com, the word genius, the word catalyst.com, and everything that I do is in one way or another, you're going to be able to find out about it there.
Very good. And one of the things that I want to personally suggest that you do is to go and to purchase the book Super Coach, rich with information. You can tell by listening and spending this time with Michael that everything that he has is passionate, yet it's practical and down to earth. And I want to tell all of you, it would be a great gift for your mother, your mother's friends. So go in, and we can get these through hayhouse.com and Amazon.
You can get them at hayhouse.com. You can get them on Amazon. You can get them in most Borders and Barnes & Noble, or you can actually go to supercoachbook.com as well as another option.
Well, I will tell you, it will be a wonderful gift how you can share with other people to be able to change their life. Michael, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I look forward to the next time we get to see each other so I can see your aura. And then also, I'm waiting for that next book. Let's see. So you said today, Carol, a half hour a day, and I could probably get 2 out a year, did you say?
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah, we got another one coming.
Well, very good. All right. Thank you so much again,
Carol.
Michael. It's been a pleasure.
Absolute pleasure.
I want to thank all of you for joining me today. I invite you to listen to my show every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. If you ever have to miss the show, you can go to my archives and re-listen to it. The archives are on my website, www.rickberger.com. I also invite you to join me for my Your Health teleclass coming up May 20th on headaches. And again, if you have a suggestion for me about a topic for my radio show, my new TV show that is on at 3 o'clock on Wednesdays Pacific Daylight Time, or you want me to do a teleclass, just go to my website, www.rittberger.com, and then just go on to contact and send me that, and I would love to be able to research and find out all the information. Thank you so much again. You have a wonderful Cinco de Mayo and a wonderful day. And as Michael said, let's just have an average day today, and then everything will be just wonderful. Thanks again. I'll see you next week on the radio. Light and love. This is Carol.
You've been listening to the Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.rittberger.com. See you soon.
Just what you're dealing with, it's in front of your eyes, but looking at it holistically, then, as Michael says, it becomes transparent. And when it becomes transparent, it looks completely different. And then we realize the power that we really have, not only over our thoughts, but also over our lives as well. So thank you, Michael. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Let's see. So when we come in, and again, going through the book, what allows one person to ask for what he or she wants? Why others stop asking them themselves? They're afraid, aren't they, Michael, to utter that first question? It's almost like I have to ponder this for a long time, and what's going to happen if I ask the wrong question? And as a result, we just don't ask our questions, do we?
We create so much meaning around two sounds that when they get put together, so here are the sounds. The first sound is, and then the second sound is, oh. And when you put those sounds together, oh, no, 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 no. Like, it's this amazingly powerful, energetic mantra that can somehow destroy our souls. Look, it's a word. And yet we have so much stuff attached to that word that we will do almost anything to avoid hearing it, including not asking the question, or if we do ask the question, asking it in a way that either presupposes the no, oh, you wouldn't really want to do this, would you? I didn't think you would. Or in a way that is so threatening that the person knows that if they say no, we will never speak to them again. And then we wonder why people resent being asked the question. When you make it okay for people to say no, and that's both okay on the inside, like, you know and they know that you're not going to die because they said those words, but also okay for them from the sense that they get that you're not actually asking you to them to rescue you. You're just asking them for whatever it is you're asking them for. It becomes very easy to ask. And Byron Katie, she's got a wonderful saying. She says, you know, if you ask 1,000 people for anything, you're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had to get anywhere near that number to test her theory.
Now, that's very true.
In fact, I can't recall a time I've had to get much past 50.
You know, and one of the things I remember a professor in college was talking when I was had a class on marketing, said that, you know, you have to ask 10 times. You may get 9 no's, but somewhere along the way, you're going to hit that 10th yes, and that you just have to be willing to persevere and to be able to ask that, which is exactly what you're saying.
But it really does stop us, doesn't it? There's a real ease and simplicity to it. You know, I have a coach who I actually write about in the book, Steve Hardison, who's just the most amazing asker I've ever met. I used to think he had a chip missing because he just simply had no fear around asking for what he wanted. And he's done things. I mean, just even recently, he got a copy of Supercoach to Mitt Romney in the middle of, like, and I thought he knew him, but it was just by asking a bunch of people till he found someone to let him in to do it. And it really comes down to just a recognition that if this is what I want to communicate, and if I really have no problem with somebody saying no, because it just means that they don't get it yet, or for whatever reason it's not for them, he can get things done so much quicker than most people just because of that. You know, he said to me before, he said, if we were both trying to raise $1 million for our favorite charity, he said, I'd win every time. And it's not because I'm cleverer than you or know as many people as you or have as big an audience as you. It's because by the time you asked the first 5 people, I'd have asked 50.
Mm-hmm.
And I really see that. And the fact is, by the time I'd asked my first 5, a lot of people wouldn't have even quite gotten themselves around to asking the first one. So it's a relative thing.
True.
But the more comfortable you get with it, the quicker you can change your life and create what you want in the world. Because anything that happens in the world, in the creation of your goals, 99% of it is going to happen through conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Through you speaking with, communicating with, in some form or another, another human being. And in order to make those requests, there's nothing can stop you doing it but you. Other people can say no, but gosh, I cannot think of a client in 20 years who their problem was that they had too many no's. You
good
know, the problem is always, I haven't asked enough people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it just comes back to that part that we're so afraid that rejection is going to be there, that it really inhibits us to be able to,
And I love it because rejection doesn't even exist.
It does not.
Like that woman that I was speaking about at the beginning of our talk today, who forgave me and came to understand the beauty behind my rejection of her for the email that I never even got. We make it up. And if you're going to make stuff up, you may as well make it up so that it works.
Absolutely. Well, and the ultimate of rejection is self-rejection. And then that's what perpetuates the no. So that is very good. So I love it. All the listeners. So what I think our mantra today should be that we're going to become askers. I love that term. And then just ask for what we desire. Ask people, ask the universe. Just put it down on paper and just ask and ask and ask until we get it. In Supercoach, you talk about that the secret to financial security doesn't always come from the amount of money that we currently have, but by the ability to get more of it whenever we want. Is that what you're talking about also, is this asking process?
There are two elements to it. I had the chance to interview and be part of a research project with some of the richest people on the planet. And I found out very quickly that there are miserable millionaires and happy millionaires, miserable billionaires and happy billionaires. And it's not down to the amount of money they have. And the real kicker for me, I in the book I write about it as the $600 million man, was when this one guy I was speaking with said, you know, he's worth $600 million. And he said, every morning I wake up and wonder if today's going to be the day when I lose it all. And I thought, I was disappointed, to be honest. I was a bit crushed because I had thought there was a number. In the back of my mind, I thought there's a certain amount of money that once I have that, I will never worry about money again. And my number was so much smaller than $600 million, it's laughable. And I thought, if he is able to create insecurity around money with $600 million in the bank, then the answer can't be in the money. And it isn't. There are two things that lead to total financial security. The first is recognizing that your well-being is not dependent on your bank balance. That who you are and how you are in the world is non-contingent on your financial circumstance. That your happiness is something you were born with. Whenever I go to somebody who's got a baby, I will always make a point of talking to the baby about the economy just to check.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see if I can ever find a baby whose happiness is affected by money. Never happened yet. Don't really expect it to. When you get that you're born happy, you're born with that well-being, that's who we are, then you stop looking to something outside, and particularly money, as the source of that. The second thing is to learn to create it. Because to me, money is like paint. Okay, if I want to paint something, then I need paint. If I don't want to paint something, it doesn't matter how much paint I have. I don't ever need to hoard paint. I don't need to worry that I only have 100 pots of paint left. And I used to have 1,000 before the market crashed. Because unless I'm using that paint for something specific, it doesn't matter. Now, if I'm painting something that needs 150 pots of paint, and I've only got 100, well, then the thing that I want to work on is creating more paint. How do I go out and get it? And you do that by difference making. Mm-hmm. You do that by going out and making a difference in the lives of other human beings, doing whatever you do, whether whether you're a writer or a nurse or a talk show host or a housewife, there are ways to make differences in the lives of others. That is what people spend money for. And there's always an answer to the question, what would you be thrilled to spend $100 for? What would be, and that's at any level. You know, I have clients who the question is, you know, what would my clients be delighted to pay me $1 million for? And there is always an answer to that question. That's where your energy and time are usefully spent when you want to create more money in your life. Not in whether you deserve it, whether you're worthy of it, whether it's a worthy, all of that is just one big sidetrack.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's, goes back to that perception and so forth with it. And I know you probably run into this all the time also. I have so many people that'll come up to me and say, Carol, I just don't know where to start. I don't know where to go. I mean, I'm waiting for that one right thing. How could I just, because I'm a good listener, get paid for being a good listener? And I said, well, if you're not only a good listener, but an active listener, meaning that you really are sincerely participating and hearing what people say, that right there is worth a lot to a lot of people who just don't have it in their lives. And it just changes their perception, doesn't it? But, you know, it's interesting you would say, because from the standpoint of how much is enough, because at that point in time, the more you do have, you have that choice. You either worry about whether you're going to lose it or you just enjoy what it can bring to you and then be able to share it with other people. Very, very good information. Well, Michael, before I go in and take this one caller, could you please tell everyone about your academy and about your Hay House show? When is it on? How can we get in touch with you? How can they get your books? Because I know you've got several different books, don't you?
Well, a few years back, I asked a web designer to make a sandbox for me on the web, just a place where I could play and make sandcastles and do stuff. And we called that sandcastle geniuscatalyst.com. And so at geniuscatalyst.com, there's free daily tips. There's free weekly tips. You can find out all about on Thursdays the live radio show and how to download podcasts of my Hay House radio show. There's links to all my books where you can read the introductions online and videos and audio. And we really just, whenever I've got something new I want to play with, that's where it always shows up first. So that would be the place to find out information about anything. We are going to be doing a new Super Coach Academy in Los Angeles. We have people from 11 countries who are training to be transformative coaches in New York right now, and that training will complete at the end of June. And then there'll be a new one next year in L.A. There's not information on the site about that yet, but there will be. And it's just, I love doing what I do. And so for me, the more people, I learned this from my dad. My dad was an engineer. You know, he had a machine shop. He drilled holes in bits of metal, but he loved it. And I'm sure that's where I got it. It's nothing kind of noble or even learned. It's just what I saw growing up. And I know that when you find that thing or those things that you really love doing, your life just transforms. And that's the beauty of what you do, Carol. It's the beauty for me of what I do, and I love it. Love it.
Well, you can tell that. And again, it isn't what you do. It's what you feel about what you do and how you'll be able to help other people. And, you know, it's very, we've heard this so much. When you help someone else, you always feel better about yourself. And that is literally true. Let's go ahead and jump in. Hi, Shelly, line two from South Dakota. How are you today, hon?
I'm great. Thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. Oh, my gosh, Michael, listen to this bubbly, beautiful human being that we have on the phone. How can we help you, sweetie?
Well, I was calling. I have a disorder called vitiligo. It's mm-hmm. the deep pigmentation. And I've had it for about 8 years, and it's never moved. It's just stayed on my elbows, and it's kind of been discreetly on just one arm. Well, I was recently given a healing prayer, which...
I'm not kidding when I say this. I said this prayer for about a week, and I woke up one morning, and the vitiligo had spread to both the backs of my hands. I don't know what I did or why this spread, and now it's so visible, and ugh.
Oh, well, let's see. Go ahead, sweetie.
Oh, it was very startling to wake up with that, and I was thinking, boy, I can't give this prayer to anyone because who knows what it will unleash in their body.
Well, let me tell you what it unleashed in your body, and Michael, hang on, I'm going to pull you into this also, sweetie, because I know there's a lot of things there. One of the things with vitiligo is that it has to do with an autoimmune disorder. That's really where it is. And as a medical intuitive, in my world, that's where we hold pent-up irritation and frustration and sometimes anger with ourselves. And it kind of festers in there. And then what we do is my senses, the healing prayer didn't really do anything that would create, you know, this process to be bad. But what it did is it went in and it started the healing in that immune system. And the skin, sweetie, is the soul. And one of the things, I have a lot of clients that have the same skin pigmentation issue as you. And what I say is, instead of looking at it as being something that is, you know, wrong, look at it where that part of your skin is white, it's pure, it's absolutely the part of your soul that comes to the surface that allows you to see how pure that we really are, shifting the perception. But my sense is that the healing prayer went in and it literally shifted a perception, and it took away a lot of the energy that we hold in there. But then I need to go and now I need to be really practical. One of the things that also can trigger that to be able to start to surface and to move to different places of the body actually has to do with the immune system. So one of the things, honey, is you're going to want to go in and do some cleansing in the body. Look at the diet. Eat a rainbow diet. Greens, very good for the liver, because skin pigmentation issues are not only the immune system, but it also involves the liver. And in that liver, we need to keep it very, very clean. We need to get red bloods count up, which is what greens do. Reds are nice antioxidants and rich with that, as oranges are, but reds are natural diuretics, so they help in that purging, cleansing process. So one of the things to do is focus on the foods that you eat. Also go in and look at the foods that, you know, ask your body, what's it hungry for? And one of the things I pick up is you're getting a little bit of food sensitivity around gluten. You might want to just explore that one a little bit. So again, you know, I would go in and go, oh my gosh, look at this. This is who I am in my purest form. This is my soul, because the skin is that. This is who I am. And just shift the perception. And kind of like Michael's been talking, is that, you know, of course it is, especially as women, we look at that and go, oh my gosh, it's kind of, you know, like liver spots or anything else. But just shift the perception of it, sweetie. No, it's tied to the immune system. Pack the immune system full of self-love. Look at all the good things you do. My gosh, I would love to just bottle your enthusiasm. And, you know, we're going to put you on eBay and we're going to bottle this, and you and I are going to become partners. Michael, do you want to be a part of this?
I'm in. I'm absolutely in.
So thank you.
Oh, money. You're welcome, Shelley. Hang on a second. Michael, do you have anything that you
can...
Well,
I do. As a non-medical intuitive, so ignore anything I said that sounds vaguely medical. What I find is that with any kind of healing, it's almost always a side effect. The symptom, whatever the symptom is, whatever we've named that particular set of symptoms, the healing of it is what your body wants to do anyway. Your body is always driving towards health, in the same way as your mind is always driving towards health. And one of the things that often gets in the way is we try to help too much. Like, you know, we'll take an aspirin to make a headache go away, not realizing maybe that the headache or the fever might actually be the body trying to heal itself. You know, we'll step in a little too quick. We'll catch the bird when it falls out of the nest, thinking that we're saving it, without realizing that that's how birds learn how to fly. And so, again, in a totally non-medical way, but this is just true about so many things with clients that I work with, to a certain extent, I would take a little bit of time off from trying to heal this. Absolutely do anything wonderful for immune system that Carol suggests, because, you know, worst case, you have a healthy immune system. But right. For a little while, just maybe take a week or even a month off from trying to heal this.
Okay.
And to the point where somebody might say to you, how's the vitiligo? And you go, what? Oh, yeah. I don't know. I haven't looked for a while. Because when it stops being that much a part of your consciousness, it kind of gets you out of the way long enough for the natural healing process to take place. So, Carol, feel free to disavow everything I just said.
Oh, no. Absolutely.
Medical point of view, but that's my experience from a psychological, spiritual point of view.
Absolutely. And that is so true because we do, you know, the job of the mind is to fixate on anything in the body that isn't working properly. That's its job. But what we do is we can fixate it onto the point where it creates a myriad of other issues. So see that immune system healthy and happy and pure. And then again, common sense things, just, you know, what you do to eat. Every one of us, you know, we are what we eat, and look at it that way. But Michael is so right. Just, you know, take a reprieve from it and just allow it to just be. And then your mind, just put your mind on other things. And all of a sudden, you're going to realize that it just doesn't, the mind isn't fixating and consume you. Thanks very much, Shelley. Appreciate you calling, Michael. My pleasure. So thank you, Michael, for helping me with that. So is there any one last thing? We have just about a minute. Any one last thing that you want to leave people with, one action?
You know, it's not an action. It's a thought, and it's that thought that I mentioned earlier, that no matter how bad things might seem, no matter how difficult it might seem, no matter how hard you've been trying, you are only one thought away from peace. You are only one thought away from an insight that's going to completely change the way that you see your situation, and in doing that, your situation. And there is never a reason not to hope. I've simply never seen a hopeless situation in my life.
Absolutely.
And I find that when the practical isn't working, then hope works just fine.
It does. And that's the one thing that is so important in all of the work that you do and I do and for everyone, is that, you know, hope really is what keeps us in touch with that spiritual aspect of who we are. And again, nothing is impossible. I've worked with people that were diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. The doctors basically said to them, you know, go home and do all the things and prepare. And I have people that have lived 6-10 years beyond where the doctors said that they would. And again, it is that thought. It is that hope. Well, Michael, just one more quick time. Tell us how we can find out all about you.
Well, just come to geniuscatalyst.com, the word genius, the word catalyst.com, and everything that I do is in one way or another, you're going to be able to find out about it there.
Very good. And one of the things that I want to personally suggest that you do is to go and to purchase the book Super Coach, rich with information. You can tell by listening and spending this time with Michael that everything that he has is passionate, yet it's practical and down to earth. And I want to tell all of you, it would be a great gift for your mother, your mother's friends. So go in, and we can get these through hayhouse.com and
Amazon. You can get them at hayhouse.com. You can get them on Amazon. You can get them in most Borders and Barnes & Noble, or you can actually go to supercoachbook.com as well as another option.
Well, I will tell you, it will be a wonderful gift how you can share with other people to be able to change their life. Michael, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I look forward to the next time we get to see each other so I can see your aura. And then also, I'm waiting for that next book. Let's see. So you said today, Carol, a half hour a day, and I could probably get 2 out a year, did you say?
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah, we got another one coming.
Well, very good. All right. Thank you so much again, Michael. It's been
a pleasure.
I want to thank all of you for joining me today. I invite you to listen to my show every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. If you ever have to miss the show, you can go to my archives and re-listen to it. The archives are on my website, www.ritberger.com. I also invite you to join me for my Your Health teleclass coming up May 20th on headaches. And again, if you have a suggestion for me about a topic for my radio show, my new TV show that is on at 3 o'clock on Wednesdays Pacific Daylight Time, or you want me to do a teleclass, just go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then just go on to contact and send me that, and I would love to be able to research and find out all the information. Thank you so much again. You have a wonderful Cinco de Mayo and a wonderful day. And as Michael said, let's just have an average day today, and then everything will be just wonderful. Thanks again. I'll see you next week on the radio. Light and love. This is Carol.
You've been listening to the Carol Ryberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.